Thanks so much for downloading Man Made. Just a heads up that the following episode contains some strong language and we do discuss mental health issues. If any of it strikes a chord with you and you want to find mental health support where you live or talk about your feelings, visit the Hub of Hope, www.hubofhope.co.uk, where you can find links to services across the UK.
Actually, I've got a fucking question for you about a jacket that you had.
Which one?
The fucking shiny leather one.
Guess where?
Where?
M&S.
What?
Yeah, M&S women's section, mate.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
On my mother's life, it's from M&S women's section.
I literally just fucking look at ours.
Mate,
like,
and M&S women's jeans amazing as well. Trust me, mate. M&S is where
I wear women's jeans all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're always
better
a nice fit,
mate, yeah.
Oh, well, that's a fucking touch, that is.
This is the show.
Welcome to Man Made, a podcast hosted by me, Pete Wicks, where we are going to be finding out what it takes to be a man. What is a man? Today we've got Tom Grennan in, a friend of mine who I have known for a couple of years and an all-round great guy. And I'm going to be honest with you, I wasn't expecting it to go the way it has. And I loved every minute of it. It was very raw, it was very vulnerable. I think this is a side to Tom you've probably never seen before. And his insights into what he believes a man is, the man he's become, and the factors that have impacted the man he's become are really, really interesting. So I hope you all enjoy it. Mate, I'm going to start with a really loaded question.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you were to define what being a man is, what would you say?
That is heavy.
It's heavy. Listen, yeah. We're going straight in there.
Yeah.
No foreplay, mate. Just straight in.
I think there's all sorts of pressure to be the best man,
mm-hmm.
macho man, or
like the alpha.
The alpha, especially like where I'm from.
Yeah.
Like where I'm from in Bedford, like if you're not the alpha in the room or in your group of mates, like all my mates are alpha and it's always like getting into each other, do you know what I mean? So if you're not that, it's kind of like you're struggling.
Yeah.
Also like being a man and not being able to like have the confidence in talking about feelings is also a big thing. You know?
Yeah, massively.
But what does it mean to be a man? I don't know.
What would you say now then? What do you think, if I'd have asked you that question like in your formative years, so like going from like a boy to a man, I'd say what, about 16?
Yeah.
So when you start becoming like a bloke.
Yeah.
Do you think your answer to that now, what you consider being a man is now, is different to what it would have been if I'd asked you that at 16?
Definitely, yeah. Me at 16, I was wanting to like make sure I was strong, and I was like, in my head, I was like, I'm gonna look after everything. I'm gonna be the man of the
no weakness.
Yeah. I'm gonna be the man of the house when I'm this age. And truth, like I can barely hang a picture up on the wall. Do you know what I mean,
mate? I'm the same as that.
Yeah.
To be fair.
So like, I think there's so much different stigmas on what it is to be a man. Like,
protector, provider, all that sort of stuff
then,
is what you consider to be a man.
Then are you less of a man?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think so, no. Like, I think you can be whoever you want to be, but just if you have kindness, if you're sensitive, if you're loving, then I believe that's when you're a wicked man.
Do you think, because I think our generation is probably the first generation where what being a man is...
Definitely.
It's probably changing.
Definitely.
Like my dad and probably your dad, that generation, probably instilled something in us that men were supposed to be a certain type of way.
Yeah.
And that's because that was passed down to them and whatever else. Whereas for us, obviously, I think now we're changing what people consider a real man to be.
Yeah.
You know, having feelings, having, you know, emotions, showing weakness and vulnerability.
Mm. Yeah.
I think is probably more of a manly thing to do than to bottle everything up.
Yeah.
But we're going through that massive change.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm 37 now, and really, and it's only in the past kind of 7 years since being 30 that I've probably changed my opinion of what being a good man is.
Yeah.
And it's not the alpha male, it's not the hanging pictures on walls and doing all that sort of stuff, but that's exactly what I thought it was. Crying, you've got fucking no chance.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely no chance.
Do you cry now?
Oh, I'm an emotional wreck, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm an emotional peach. Like, things set me off. I see like an old couple in the street.
Oh, yeah.
And mate, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I can't help it. It's like as soon as you open the waterworks, it's fucking gone now. And actually, I think that makes you a stronger male role model than probably previous generations would want us to believe.
Definitely. Like, my dad, like, is...
Would you say he's your role model? Is he, like...
Yeah, 100%. Like, I feel like my dad, he's an Irish man, and he has always been there for me and my brother and my mum. He worships the ground my mum walks on. I've always seen that. I've always, like, seen how much he loves her. I think he made massive life decisions when I was born, like, stop drinking. And he's from a culture where drink is the main factor of it.
Yeah.
He stopped it completely when I was born. He was like, I want to be a good dad. I want to provide love. And not only that, like, he also has worked his ass off, man, to give us a life what he didn't have. Like, he comes from a family of 7-8 siblings.
Fucking hell.
They had 2 bedrooms, one for the girls, one for the boys, and they all lived in together. He came to England, had nothing in his pocket, and now he's got a family, a house, and we're not rich, but we're cool, do you know what I mean? And I've always had that sense of we've been rich in love, and that means the world, man.
That's such a beautiful thing to say, because I think that's exactly it. When people discuss, like, rich... Yeah. And success as well. Success is another thing.
Yeah.
You know, having a family unit, by the sounds of it, you've got, is fucking beyond rich.
Oh, mate, we're millionaires, mate.
Yeah.
In that, when it comes to that.
I mean, it sounds like with your dad, you said there, like, providing love was a massive part of that.
Yeah.
Which is probably unusual, I think, for that generation.
Yeah.
Of fathers.
Yeah.
Like, he was quite a loving dad.
Yeah.
Always there. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, my dad was very different to that. It was kind of a...
Don't get me wrong. Like, I wouldn't be, like, giving my dad, like, hugs and kisses on the cheek.
Rubbing noses and that.
No,
you know?
Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that, but...
What's that fucking Will Ferrell film?
Do you know?
Daddy's Home or
something.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. Like, it's the sense of, like, my dad's cool. Like, do you know what I mean?
And as you've got older, I mean, I've seen loads of stuff on your Instagram with your dad and that. He's become
like
your best mate.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Do you know what I mean? Which is a really, really beautiful thing as well. Like, you know, going from that, when you're younger, you kind of need a dad.
Yeah.
But then as you get a little older, having a best mate and someone that, you know, can guide you through all the different bits, especially as your life's been pretty fucking wild.
Yeah, it's been wild for sure. Yeah.
What do you think in terms of qualities that you have got from your dad?
I mean,
that's a hard one to answer.
Yeah.
Some big fucking questions. We're going straight in, mate.
Boy, man.
We're 10 minutes in. I ain't fucking about. Right? You didn't come here for a fucking breeze, mate. We're going
100%,
in.
100%. I think the qualities I got from my dad is probably, like, I'm confident. My dad's very confident. Like, you walk into a room and my dad will light it up. I think I got that from him. And I think I use that quality on stage, you know. Now I've got older, I'm a little bit more reserved. And I think that's probably from what I do and whatnot.
Do you think that's also, like, growing up as well? Like you said, if you're not kind of the alpha, and I think there's a thing where, certainly when I was younger, if you're not the loudest one, then you're in the background.
Yeah, that's what it was.
You know,
that's what it was.
I think as you get older, there's, like, a famous quote. I think it's the loudest one in the room is the weakest one in the room.
Definitely.
Because quite often it's a front that people are putting on and not their kind of true selves.
Yeah.
Quiet confidence is a really...
It's like, if you're a quiet gangster, you're the best gangster going, isn't it?
Well, exactly.
It's one of those ones where, like, when I'm in a room, I'm kind of, like, reserved and I don't need to be, wow, look at me, look who I am, da, da, da. But if I'm on stage, the confidence is there. Like, I'm like, I own this stage. And I think with my dad, he's not loud in that sense, but he's a man who everybody is drawn towards, you know? And I think I've probably picked that up from him.
Is that kind of a natural presence and charisma?
Yeah, definitely, for sure, for sure. Another quality, my dad is... And this is a good thing and a bad thing, right? But he's the least meanest person I've ever met in my life. And I think I've got that quality from him. Like, if you need something, I'll do it for you. If you need a hand, whatever it is, I'll do that. But if you fucking cross it, it's done and you're finished. And if I feel like you've done something where the trust has gone, it's kind of like... And it's done, and that's what I'm saying. I think that might be a bit of a bad thing, because It's good to be able to forgive. It's good to be able to talk and say, well, yeah, okay, this is what it is and that's what it was and maybe that's where the worlds collided. But yeah. My dad, on the other hand, just, nah, you're done, you're finished.
See, I'm quite similar to that. You trust everyone once.
Yeah.
As soon as that's done, it's very hard to come back and I hold grudges.
Yeah, do you?
I'm fucking stubborn, which is a terrible
My
way
dad
to be,
is for sure.
Because, you know, good people, you know, make bad decisions and make mistakes.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between, I think, good people making mistakes and just generally...
Well, that's it.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, 100%.
I think as I've got older, certainly you start to notice good people that make mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's a lot easier to forgive than just bad people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think that trying to decide between the two growing up was difficult, so I would just cut people off.
Yeah.
As soon as that's, I'm just fucking done.
Yeah.
And I've probably lost a lot of...
Friends and
relationships and things. 100%. Because I went, nah, I'm done here.
Yeah.
And that is a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's a regret. It's definitely a regret. Do you have regrets?
Loads of regrets, mate.
See, I'm fucking glad you said that because I hate when people say you should never have regrets because I regret so many things in my life and I've made so many mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because I think it's very easy to be a good person and to make the right decisions when everything's going well.
100, yeah.
But it's very difficult to hold them same values when shit hits the fan.
Yeah.
And that's when I've made an awful lot of mistakes and not learning by those mistakes I've done a lot of times. What would you say your biggest...
Me too.
And you try not to do it again, but sometimes things happen. It is what it is.
Yeah.
What would you say your biggest regret in life is?
In my early 20s, even though like I had fun, I got too fucked up, man. I got lost in this whole world of like fucking music and fame and...
I mean, your story is... Let's go into the kind of story because music wasn't saying...
Please take my slider off and get comfy, man.
Yeah, man, you
I'm
get
loving
as comfy
this,
as you want.
I'm going to end.
Your kind of story is a bit of a wild one, really, because you're not one of those people that's just music's all I wanted to do. Like,
No. You
never really thought about it. You want to be a baller, no?
Yeah, I wanted to be a footballer.
Which, if you watch Soccer Age, you'll be able to see because it's slightly embarrassing for everyone else. I mean, Sam Thompson, my
mate, did all right, to be fair.
Oh, fuck off. He was useless. He was fucking useless. I don't mean he touched the ball. He was just running around like a fucking Wally.
Yeah.
but you were good. You got a... Was it like a scholarship?
Yeah.
To go to America?
Yeah. So I played at academies, got offered the scholarships to go to America, but just didn't fancy it, really. Just didn't have... I wasn't good enough, man. I've been a realist from young.
Was football one of them things? Because I think a lot of people, like, you know, working class background, like, and similar to me, a lot of, you know, when I was growing up, everyone wanted to be a footballer or a boxer. Like, that's what my dream would have been, to be a boxer.
Wicked.
But I was fucking shit.
Right.
That was the biggest, but I was good as gold until someone had hit me in it.
Yeah.
Then I'd just lose my fucking temper and anyone that can actually fight just picks you off. But I would have loved to have done that.
Yeah.
But I just wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it is that from backgrounds like ours, the immediate thing that young boys and men want to do is something that is competitive, physical?
Yeah.
What do you think the reason for that is?
I think it's a thing of getting out of where you're from,
mm-hmm.
providing. And it's also, I know, this is why I wanted to do something like what I'm doing is because ego.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had this thing where used to say to my friends, like, everybody in our little town's going to know who we are. And it's such a stupid thing to say, but that's what it was. And when you're young, you kind of go like, everyone's going to know what we are and who we are. And I'm going to make sure that I'm Mr. Macho Man. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Because I think
that's fucking stupid.
If you look at now, like, you know, when I was at school, all the kind of kids that did music and singers, they were not the ones that you
They
go,
were the goons, that, mate.
Yeah, mate. Do you know what
that's
I mean?
That's what it was.
I mean, and I'm not just saying on your... I mean, I've just done Strictly, mate.
Oh,
like, the thought of me doing that as a kid, I'd have gone, not on your fucking Nelly. There but is no way I'd be in Sparkles doing a foxtrot.
Yeah,
you know what
but
I mean?
This is like why you doing that was amazing. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's breaking down them kind of things. Like, even still to this day, I'm like, fucking hell. Like, you look at, like, I'm not calling anybody up because I think that's not what I'm here to do. But you look at, like, YouTube. You look at things like that. Yeah, back in the day, I remember one of my best friends, right, doing YouTube. And you thought, what the fuck are you doing, mate? Gooning it up, no way. Now look.
Yeah.
I applaud all them people who've just sold out Wembley.
Yeah.
Who in school, you might have been like,
Nah, Wally.
Mate. Wally.
Yeah, completely.
Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. Fair play.
Stereotypes are definitely changing.
Definitely, man.
I mean, you've got kids now that, you know, young boys growing up now that want to be YouTubers and gamers, yeah, and all those sort of stuff that when I was a kid, you'd be like, are you joking?
They're, I know,
kind of the wallies at the back of the class. You know, but what I mean? Even no, like, talks to.
Even like sexuality, man, as, yeah, well. Like in school, man, if you were a little bit different and thought you were either gay or whatever, yeah, you were getting punished for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You buy it low, and it's so bad, yeah?
Well, look at, I mean, the conversation we've just had before this asked you where you got a jacket from, and it's like a ladies' jacket, and we're both saying, yeah, we both prefer women's jeans.
Oh, mate.
Mate, if I'd have said that at 14, 15, yeah, I'd have been slapped across a classroom quicker than you say boo.
I know, it's mental, but I just think as men now, and like, and I hope as kids and stuff, I feel like there is a stigma changing where like, no, you be who you want to be and you believe in what you want to believe in and you can go wherever you want to go and you are beautiful. Do you know what I mean?
I heard you do an interview previously where you said you like being uncomfortable.
Yeah, man.
But you're comfortable in yourself now.
Yeah.
Which I think is really, really important. And that's a massive thing for young people to look up to. And you know, it's probably the foremost thing of being a role model is being comfortable in yourself and letting people kind of do that and letting them know that it's okay, because what is there, fucking 8 billion people in the world, I think?
Yeah.
And your superpower, my superpower, everyone in this room is the fact that no one thinks like you. No one is you. That's the one thing that sets you aside from everyone else.
Yeah.
And that should be celebrated, whatever that is.
Definitely,
whatever that,
man,
is to you.
Definitely.
I mean, you've mentioned before that you suffer with anxiety and stuff.
Big time.
And you're a bit of a scaredy cat.
Big time.
But something happened to you. You got attacked.
Yes, yeah.
And did that have an impact on...
That changed my life.
So
I think that's the first time, like, I understood, like, what anxiety was, I think.
Because it was... I mean, anxiety wasn't a thing when, like, I was a kid or you was a kid.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. But as a kid, I wanted to be the biggest in the room. I was like, we would fight. We would do, like, stupid things. And we would, like, be so boisterous. Just... I don't know, to make a point.
I think it's weird because it's like constantly trying to prove you're a man.
Exactly.
I feel like I spent a lot of my youth constantly trying to prove, man, I was man.
For sure. And then obviously then I got jumped and had my jaw broken and had my life flipped upside down.
What was the reason for
it? Well, there wasn't.
Was it a random attack?
Got held by three guys, bear hugged, so I couldn't move. And... just kept getting pounded in my face. So I was here, couldn't move whilst taking the punches. And I think that...
And what age were you? 18?
Well, 17, just turning 18. And I think that like flipped life on its head where it demasculined me. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Whatever that word is. Like,
demasculating.
I felt like I was, oh my God, I'm a pussy. Do you know what I mean?
Is that really how it made you feel? Did you feel like, because
I was like, you've completely ripped out every little bit of
confidence,
every little bit of like me. I wasn't me anymore. From that little moment, completely like has changed my whole life.
Mm.
And I had to rebuild up everything. And I think that's what obviously like where my anxiety came from, the beginning of it.
So, you know, having such a experience like that, which is obviously quite traumatic.
Yeah.
Do you think it took you down to a base level of trying to understand then who the fuck I am?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it ripped away everything you thought you were.
Yeah.
And everything you thought being a man was.
Mm.
And then you had to start again trying to learn what being a man is from 18.
Yeah. I think understanding of who I was more than being a man, you know what I mean? It was more or less like, who am I? What have I got to do now to be better or just be me again?
That's a fucking scary place to be in it. Like,
mate,
18,
this was like, I couldn't leave the house. It was like, oh, mate, the thoughts, man. I was like, if I'm not me, then fuck it.
So, I mean, physically, obviously, you know, they broke your jaw and they've done you a lot of damage. But the mental damage from that.
I've still got it, mate. Like, that's,
really?
Yeah.
And how old are you now?
About to turn 30.
Bats turn 30.
Yeah.
Fucking a big 3-0, yeah?
I know. Fuck, mate. Finished.
Fuck off, I'm 37.
What a fucking nightmare that is.
Nah, my stage age is 26, man.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. All right. Well, we'll make sure we put that in 26. That's a big thing to happen to anyone. And, you know, automatically when you hear, like, you know, broken jaw and all the rest of it, you think, fuck me, that's awful.
Yeah.
But I don't think people will understand. And the only person that will understand is how that impacted you mentally.
Yeah, if I was sticking it on the geezer, or if I was annoying him, or if I was being loud, and if I was, like, antagonizing it, I'd have had a better understanding of...
Because you
just, yeah, I probably deserved it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was being a dickhead, but it wasn't that. So, I actually thought, I was like, oh my God, like, I thought everyone loved me. I thought everybody, like I was saying about my dad, I thought about everybody loving him and being drawn to him. I thought, oh my God, everybody loves me. I'm good. Life is sweet. Da, da, da. And then that happened. And then I thought, my God, everybody hates me. And I lost a year of being at home. Like, I was just at home. I lost friends. I became angry.
What was it that made you angry?
Not understanding why these people have done this to me. Like, mate, I was so angry. I remember, don't know how deep I can go, whether this could even be on the podcast, but I remember saying to my mum, I remember going, I'm going to kill myself, yeah? And she was like, what? I was like, yeah, but I'm going to go kill them first. And I remember trying to leave the house, and I didn't know where they were. And my mum was so scared that I was going to go, like, kill somebody and then kill me, that, like, it fucked my mum up, it fucked me up, mate. It was deep.
The impact it has on you know, people around you. I grew up in a family that suffered mental health.
Yeah.
And I think quite often we talk about, you know, the people who have mental health, but not the impact it has on those around them.
Yeah,
because that's,
mate,
a massive thing.
Yeah.
I mean, for your family, especially as you've got such a tight unit,
yeah,
seeing you go from being one person,
yeah,
to kind of shattered and losing yourself is fucking tough, you know,
tough,
especially,
mate,
for your parents to see that.
Yeah, man. And, like, my brother's got Asperger's, so my mum has struggled with my brother. Doesn't anymore, because he's older and he understands it. But, like, from a kid, like, I was always my mum's rock, do you know what I mean? I was always that rock for her, and then I wasn't. And, yeah, it was all just a bit mad, man.
It's funny you say, like, anger, because I think anger's probably been the biggest part of my life.
Really?
Yeah, certain things, you know, happened to me when I was young. My mum, you know, she suffered with her mental health, and she tried to take her life.
Right.
Just before I was 12, and I found her, and it was kind of one of them things, and you know, from that moment, that made me think, right, now I've got to be a man. My mum and dad weren't together, so from 12, I went and got paper hands so I could pay my mum money, and I tried to look after my mum and do this and do that sort of stuff, but I never really processed any of what was happening.
Yeah.
All it made me feel was angry.
Yeah.
And I think that's because young men, and certainly as I've got older, I've started to realise this, don't understand their emotions.
No.
Don't understand what you're feeling. You know, don't understand really what anxiety is, or think it's not going to happen to you. And you don't really understand sadness or what that kind of means. So it came out for me in anger, because I understood anger.
Yeah.
I was angry at fucking everything for no reason whatsoever. Anything could send me off the edge just because it's the only kind of thing that I felt in control of.
Yeah.
So it's weird you saying that, because I think there's a lot of similarities there. I couldn't work out what it was that was making me so angry all the time. Everything did. But it was just the easiest way for me to process, because I couldn't understand the rest of my emotions.
How have you worked on that?
Mate.
Do you understand it now, or, like...
No, I think recently and in the past couple of years, and it's part of the reason why I'm kind of doing this pod as well, man, is because...
Yeah, imagine having something like this when, mate, we were... Like,
just amazing. Wouldn't happen, man.
No.
But I think part of it is the fact that I'm a work in progress.
Yes.
You know, I don't know what the fuck a man is,
no,
what a man's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I think it's different for every person, and everyone is going to have a slightly different idea of that, which is part of the reason why we're kind of doing the pod, is to kind of bring in loads of different options and listen to a lot of people's kind of stories about their idea of what a man is. We're never going to be able to figure that out.
No.
And there is no such thing as a perfect man. Let's be honest with you. There's no such thing.
Oh.
But times are changing. And I think mental health is a massive part of this. Mental health is something that wasn't spoken about when I was a kid. It's certainly for a man. It just wasn't a thing. And it is now. But my biggest issue with kind of mental health now is we're told to talk.
Oh, my God. Everyone's got mental health now, though.
But, yeah.
It's mad.
No one really understands. It's just become a thing where you just talk then.
I know, yeah.
Oh, well, and then it'll be cured.
Yeah.
there's no cure.
Yeah.
Different things happen in your life that are going to impact you in different ways.
Go on, talk.
Yeah, go on then. What's wrong?
Yeah, so fucking
And then that's okay. And then suddenly it's okay because, you know,
he's spoken about it. Yeah.
That doesn't mean that it's going to change anything.
No.
The mental health and the way you feel and your own emotions are a really beautiful thing. Like I said, it can be your superpower. You're the only person that feels and thinks that way.
Mm.
But when those thoughts, feelings and emotions are negative or bad, the loneliest place you can be is your own head.
Oh,
it's
mate.
Like a fucking prison.
Yeah.
And not understanding those and not giving yourself time to reflect on those things make it really fucking difficult to navigate your way through.
Yeah.
And then they present themselves in different ways, like anger or whatever else. And then you make
You'd be a good therapist, you know.
So I've never had therapy.
You never?
No. Nah. Part of the reason is because I'm too fucking scared to.
Really?
Yeah, and that's still now. I'm 37 and, you know, I'm sitting here talking about being vulnerable and all that sort of stuff, but I'm still too petrified to do it, to have therapy. Have you had therapy?
Yeah, mate. I'm in it at the moment.
You're in it at the minute?
Yeah.
So what's the reason you're in therapy now? Is it something new or have you done that previously?
I've done it previously and then I've dipped out and then I kind of dip in and dip out, but right now I'm in because I think for me, having an understanding of where these feelings are, why my mind goes to the places it goes to. Like, a therapist can't be like, this is why.
I think
like,
that's sometimes what people want from a therapist. Tell me what's wrong
exactly.
and how to fix it.
Exactly. And to be fair, I was like that.
Yeah.
I was like, can you please, like, fucking tell me what's to just fit? Yeah. He's like, mate, we can't. We can have a conversation and we can use tools and we can, but really and truthfully, like, it's a never-ending thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God, fucking this is going to be long.
Yeah.
But I think having a space to be able to talk, like this is like a therapy thing for me right now, because having a space to talk openly and freely about anything is amazing. I leave a room, I'm like, okay, now I feel a bit lighter now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's why I'm in it at the moment, is because I've got a lot of pressure. I've got a lot of big life events happening, and it's just being able to navigate so I don't then start fires in my head and in reality. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can easily like fall off a cliff and start creating fires.
It's the hardest thing in the world, which should be the simplest, but understanding yourself is fucking hard.
Yeah.
And it should be, when you think about it, it should be fucking easy.
Yeah.
But it's really not. No one thinks the way you do, and you should be able to. I've always thought I should be able to make better decisions on my own.
Yeah.
Well, that's never fucking worked.
No.
And actually, like, I continue to make bad decisions. But understanding those bad decisions and why I've made them may stop me making them again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's part of, you know, trying to understand yourself and kind of work that out. And I think, you know, I've never...
But you're not a bad person for making a mistake either.
No. Good people make mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's a big difference, you know, in my head between good people who make mistakes and just fucking horrible shitters.
Yeah.
And there is quite a few of them, unfortunately, in the world.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, if we go back to the attack and how that kind of had an effect on you and that kind of shattered your confidence and everything else, at that point you were starting music?
Yeah, at that point I would been dipping in to like...
Because your story still fucking baffles me.
Yeah.
You came on my podcast before, and I know you've spoken about it loads of times.
Yeah.
But by the way, Kooks, Seaside, one of my favourite songs.
Yeah.
But you basically just got up at a fucking karaoke night and started just fucking belting out a song, and everyone went, shit, he's great.
Yeah, basically. Basically that, yeah. Well, it was when I stopped playing football, and I then decided, right, cool, like, I can kind of let my head down a bit and go to these parties that I wasn't really going to and whatnot, and started singing. The music guys at school were like, we need a singer for our band. I was like, no way am I doing that. You're not catching me do that. But inside, I was like, I really want to do that.
So what, fucking amazing. So what do you think, the inside you wanted to do that and then thinking, no, I ain't doing that. Is that still part of the bravado of that ain't a cool thing to do?
Yeah.
That ain't what a bloke does. You know what I mean? That's for all the other lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, for sure. I think I always was like, I always felt like I had something inside me. Like, he won't mind me saying this, but again, one of my best mates, I remember there was two events, skinny jeans and singing, right? He was like, I remember singing on the bus or something like that. He's like, don't ever do that again. Like, no way. So it was that thing of like two mates, don't do that.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Mate.
And skinny jeans. If you wear skinny jeans, you're finished.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I always was like, I fucking like skinny jeans.
Yeah.
And then there was moments where I was like, I'd push it. I'd be like, fuck that, I'm wearing skinny jeans. And I remember wearing skinny jeans to school and like no one was doing that at that point. And people going, what the fuck? And my friends going, yeah, you've lost the plot. And then everyone's jumping on skinny jeans. But with the singing, I was like, I really want to do that. I really want to do that. And I just listened to my gut, man. I just was like, nah, fuck you all. I'm going to do it. And I think I can sing because I've had a drink at a party and people have gone, nah, you can sing.
Do you think that was the start of you finding really who you were? Like after everything that kind of happened and getting some confidence back, finding saying, look, you know, because if you decided you didn't want to do football and that's what you kind of grew up wanting to do,
yeah,
you're probably in a position of what the fuck am I going to do now type thing.
Yeah.
And then finding something else and being, fuck.
Yeah.
I fucking love this.
Yeah, definitely.
Fuck what anyone else thinks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to do this for me.
Definitely,
not
yeah.
because the people around me in society is telling me that I should be a footballer and I should do this and yeah. I should do that. This is something I want to do.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Yeah. I just loved it. And I was like, I know that this is for me. I know I want to really get good at it. I wasn't a writer. I didn't play a guitar. I didn't play any instrument. Didn't really know how to sing properly. Like, I was just kind of just
fucking blagging it. Winging it.
Blagging it. And don't get me wrong, I'm still blagging it, mate. But
I don't know if you can say you're blagging it now, mate.
But
come
like,
on.
But I've worked so hard to, like, teach myself things.
Because you taught yourself how to play guitar.
Yeah, that's when that thing happened with my jaw and all that kind of stuff. The only way I could communicate to my mum was because if she was like, are you all right? I'm like, please don't talk to me. Don't want to talk about my feelings. Do not want to do it. Go to a therapist. I don't want to talk to a therapist who I don't know about my feelings at this age. No, I don't want to do that.
Did it make you angry, the thought of doing that?
Yeah, man. That's everything made me angry, mate, at this point. But the only way I could communicate was through a guitar and through a lyric and a melody. And then I remember walking downstairs to my mum, and again, something I'd never do, but I just was like, I feel like I have to do this, was, can I show you a song that I've done? And starting playing this song, and yeah, man.
Fucking hell, that's beautiful.
It was cool, bro.
I mean, your life, like, since taking up music, as I mean, you've done some pretty fucking cool shit, man.
Yeah.
Some genuinely pretty cool shit. Do you think being in the music industry and being famous and like having everyone recognise you, has that made it more difficult? You all right? Yeah.
You good? Mate, it's fucking amazing what you've done.
You want to take a break? Honestly, man, it's fucking incredible what you've done.
Mad.
Do you know what? It's moments like this, in all seriousness, that it is fucking mad. When you sit and talk through stuff and you think, fuck me, look how far I've come and look what I'm doing. We can take a break. Do you want to take a break for a minute?
No, I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah. I'm good. Wow. Just overcome gets you, innit?
But mate, like, do you know what? A lot of these things are fucking overwhelming when you talk through some of this stuff, because I don't think, and this is part of why we want to do this pod and what it is for people to take a minute to reflect on the fucking journey they've been on.
Yeah.
And then go, fucking, like, look, because we don't do it. We don't sit down and like, life passes us by so quickly.
Mm.
Like, so many things are fucking happening all the time that you don't think.
We move too quickly, man.
Yeah, you don't get a chance to sit down and go, fuck, I did that.
Yeah.
I fucking did that. And that's fucking incredible. Mm. You know what I mean? So you should be really proud of yourself, man. I'm fucking...
Thanks, bro.
I'm sorry for fucking...
Nah,
going
man.
Through all this fucking over the top shit here, and I'm going fucking in.
Good.
So I mean, what you've done is incredible, and like the whole being famous thing.
Yeah,
you know, people listening to this have got their own kind of pressures and different things in life. I do feel like, you know, for people like yourself being in the public eye, like, it does make it difficult because there's a pressure, you know, when people talk about it. Because I would fully consider you, you know, we spoke earlier on about your dad being your role model.
Yeah.
You're a role model for young men.
Yeah.
And it's not something that you come never, into this to want to be or, no. or you're not even going to. I know you. I know you ain't going to.
That makes
mate,
me
I know.
Cringe.
I know you're going to. Mate, I literally watch you fucking do that.
Yeah.
But you are. You're a fucking role model, man. Yeah. Like, I look up to you.
Oh,
like,
thanks,
and the pressure that comes with that, though.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes people always expect people who are deemed to be successful in music or, you know, to have all the things in life that you never thought you'd get, the fucking materialistic things, but like you've got a wife, you've got all the amazing shit. Yeah. If I'm a guy, that's a fucking guy who's got it sorted.
Yeah.
But what people don't see is the bits behind that.
Nah, yeah.
And the pressure to always be the guy that's got it sorted because that's the way people view you without actually knowing you.
Yeah.
I find fucking crushing. And overwhelming.
I think,
silly bits like now, like it's overwhelming because you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
The way people see you to the way you see yourself are two completely different fucking things.
And I think this is what, like, earlier when I was saying about, like, coming into the music industry, getting fucked up too much. But I had to, like, really and truthfully, like, live two lives. I had to be this, like, don't tell anybody that I fucking had a cigarette or drink or do other, like, I can't be telling anybody this because I've got this like glossy like brand to like build at that time. Do you know what I mean? Like I had to like, I needed everybody to like think that I was just the nice guy. Mm. That pressure of like having to be this one person and this other person. And it was a lot, man. It was a lot until I really said, who do I want to be? Do I want to be the guy who gets fucked up and then everybody goes, we now understand that you get too fucked up and you don't really, I don't want you to be a role model for my kids or I don't want you to be a role model for me because you're this person. Or do you want to be the nice glossy person who is so lovely to every, no, I don't really want to be that either because I'm not that guy. But let's meet in the middle. How do I navigate my way in this world that I'm in? Because I've got that little bit inside me. I've got a little bit of me that really wants to get fucked up. But also, I've got that bit of me that I am a nice person and I want everybody to love me in a sense, you know? So how do I bring that into together? Well, let's cut out the drink for a while. Let's bring some good things in my life, fitness, wealth, well-being.
Because you've made some big changes over the last couple, like,
big,
you know, not drinking. Like, your fitness journey is fucking unbelievable. I mean, it makes me feel like a right lazy prick.
Oh, mate, but honestly.
Doing all that mad stuff.
But honestly, I saw a picture of myself at 20, when I put my first album out, man. I look completely different, mate. My face, everything is, and I look at that person, I'm going, fucking hell, that was like a sad, angry guy, you know? So, yeah, I had to make them big life decisions with fitness and with alcohol and with all of it and just go, let's have balance here, like, and understand who you really are. You need to really understand who you are.
Yeah.
And it took a minute.
Listen, we're all constantly, like, evolving and adapting and the man that you are now is very different to the man you were 10 years ago.
Mm.
But also the man you're going to be in 10 years' time is very different to the man you are now.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're constantly trying to be a better man, then I think... That's all you can do in life. And you know, we are always going to make mistakes and do whatever else. Annoyingly, because I would love to be sat at a pub just having this fucking conversation.
Yeah.
Man. Well, not at the pub, but coffee shop.
Yeah.
There are a couple of more things I want to ask you.
Mm.
I'm 37. I haven't got any kids. If you were going to have a son or a daughter,
yeah,
what is the one thing you tell them makes a good man?
I think if I was to have a son, I would say always be as kind as you possibly can be to everybody and always treat women with the utmost respect because I've learned that from my dad, you know.
Love that, yeah.
Women are amazing, mate. And if I was to have a daughter, I would say I'll always be the first man to call my daughter beautiful, do you know what I mean? But I want my daughter to have somebody who appreciates them and somebody who loves them for who they are and worships the floor that they walk on because I've grown up with that and I believe that's the right morals, man. So...
I love that.
Yeah.
Last question before we end. Are you proud of the man you are today?
I think I am. In fact, I am. I've done a lot. I've tripped up along the way. But right now, I'm proud, man. I'm excited for life. I'm very much living in the moment and proud of the man I've become and who I am, yeah.
Fucking loved that.
Yeah, man.
Brother, thank you, man.
Mate, that was ledge, man. I absolutely loved it. That was sick. Wicked.
What a guy, man.
Yeah, you too, man. You too. What a great right. podcast, mate.
This is the first one.
Fucking hell. <enough. laughs>
We are going to play Man Made Minute with Tom Grennan. Are you ready for this?
Ready.
Quick fire. When did you last cry?
Today.
When something goes wrong, who do you call?
My mum or dad or wife. There's three answers there.
What's more important, being well-groomed or punctual?
Well-groomed.
Nice.
Yeah, even though I look like a state today.
Oh, you look great.
But I'm just comfy right now.
Tough exterior or open book?
Open book.
I think we're both going to agree on this next one. Clean shaven or facial hair?
Facial hair all day.
How long do you spend in the bathroom? And I presume that means getting ready, not...
Yeah. 20 to half an hour.
If a friend calls you in the middle of the night, what do you do?
Get up and go.
What a guy. What's your favourite household chore?
None of them.
That's the toughest question so far.
The dishwasher, easy.
Yeah, that is it. I mean, that's fucking present. That's a right cheat mode, that one. Finally, what makes a good man?
Being honest, kind, and loving.
Fucking love that.
Cool.